You can hear me? Mike can hear me. Our kids can head to class and head to the nursery if they'd like. We've actually used quite a few of these life books over the years, as well as the New Testaments. They've been very useful. All scripture is God-breathed, amen? Useful for teaching and instruction, correction, and training in righteousness. Go ahead and turn to John 17. Actually, works out well that the Gideons are here today talking about God's Word, because we're going to be in John 17 looking at God's Word and the truth. The last time we gathered for service was the last Sunday of 2024. David Snyder hit on our theme for last year. Anyone remember what the theme last year was? Yeah, we're ambassadors for Christ. It was an excellent word on personal evangelism from Acts chapter 8. And if you missed it, you should go and listen to it later. But as this is the first time we're getting together for 2025, I want to take this morning to talk about our theme for this year: make truth your home. And just like each year, it's something we want to do all the time, right? We don't want to stop being ambassadors because we're not in 2024 anymore. But we do pick a particular emphasis for the year, and make truth your home is that for this year. So we're going to read from John 17. We'll start in verse 13. It says, "But now I am coming to you." This is Jesus, by the way. This is his prayer to the Father. "But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." And he's praying for his disciples. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified in truth." Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true, that we can trust it, and that you speak to us through it. And so we ask here today in this church, and in the churches in our community and in our nation and across the world, Lord, our friends in Belize, our brothers and sisters over in Southeast Asia, wherever your people are gathered today, that you would speak through your word, God. You would use it to convict, to encourage, to build up, to sanctify, God. That you would make your church more holy. Call us from sin to you. We ask you to do that in our church here this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, look, there's the cold water. So Jesus is getting ready to return to the Father in this passage I just read. And he says that he has given his disciples your word, God's word. And he's spoken to them things which God wanted them to know, the things that God has desired for us to know. And then he says that the world has hated them because they're not of the world, just as Jesus isn't. The world here referring to all who don't belong to Christ, but also to the temptations and values of the culture. In the book of 1 John, we're told not to love the world or the things of the world. Whoever loves the world does not have the love of the Father in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father. And it says the world is passing away with all of its lusts, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. So Jesus, he doesn't ask the Father to remove us from the world. It'd be really hard to be ambassadors for Christ if we were removed from the world, right? He does not ask the Father to remove us from the world, because we're supposed to be a light in the darkness. We're supposed to live in the midst of the world without becoming like the world, without embracing what the world embraces. So Jesus asks instead the Father to keep his people from the evil one. He's praying that they would not be led into temptation. And how did Jesus teach his disciples to pray, right? He said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Hi there. Deliver us from evil. And the next verse says, sanctify them, here in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. These little life books and the New Testaments and everything the Gideons are handing out, that is the truth, right? It is the truth. It is a light in the darkness. And he says, sanctify them in the truth. So sanctification, and of course we know we talk about this a lot, but before sanctification, you need salvation, right? And God's word, people need to hear it in order to be saved, which is why we go to Belize. It's why we have missionaries in Southeast Asia. It's why we have the Gideons come out, because we know that in order for people to believe, they have to hear. They need God's word. But then it's not just you hear it and you're done. We need to be sanctified. We need to be made more holy, right? Sanctification is the process of being made holy or being made more like Jesus. Because we're supposed to be in the world, but not become like the world. We're supposed to become more and more like our Savior. And so he prays, Lord, protect them from the evil one and make them more and more holy with the truth. With the truth. With God's word. With God's word. God's word is the truth. It points to the truth. It reveals the truth. It makes clear the truth. When you're stuck in all the different views out there, God's word shows the way. God's word is the truth. And we can't know for certain. We definitely can't know the way to salvation without it. But there's a lot of things that we can know in the world, right? We can discover things in God's creation, but we want to filter all of those things still through God's word, because God is the source of all truth, and he has spoken to us through his word. So this is where we need to run first. And our ultimate goal as people is to glorify God and enjoy him forever, right? Amen. We want to bring him glory. And one of the ways that we do that is by obeying him. We do what he says. He's the creator, he's our master, he's our Lord. And so we become more holy, more like Jesus. As we do that, we are turning away from sin and we are turning to him. The truth is vital for this to happen. The truth. If we don't know what is true, if we don't know what is holy, if we don't know what is good, then we can't be more and more sanctified, and we can't walk in obedience. God's word is vital to our sanctification. And church, we need to be sanctified, amen? I know I do. But we know this, I think even at least a little bit apart from God's word. We know because we have a conscience. We know we sin. We've had God's creation reveal things to us, but it is most largely due to being revealed clearly in God's word. God's word tells us we need to be sanctified. But the world disagrees with this. The world encourages us to embrace our sin. It will tell you, do whatever makes you happy. The world is against sanctification. The world doesn't want people to become more and more like Jesus. They might like parts of Jesus, but they don't really want people to become more like Jesus. I was talking to someone recently, and she said she was talking to a secular counselor, and she knew she had done some bad things, and she needed to work on some stuff. When she told the counselor was like, oh, no, that's all fine. Like, I do that stuff too. You don't need to worry about it. And she knew these were sinful things. And so her response, praise the Lord, was, like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm not here for you to tell me everything's fine. Like, I'm here for you to help me get out of this, right? And I'm not here for you to tell me, no, you can keep doing it. So she said goodbye and left. But that's the thing. The world doesn't know up from down. It doesn't know the truth. And when it sees the truth, it hates the truth. And it stands against the truth. And it tries to convince you to hate it too. It tries to convince you to live by lies and by feelings. And so this is one of the reasons we chose the phrase, make truth your home for 2025. So I want to talk through each four words in that phrase. And Pastor Mike probably has his own ideas on some of these. But we did talk about this at length, the phrase. So make, okay? So in those four words, make. Make truth your home. To make something, it implies action on your part, right? If you want to make or build a house, You have to actually work to build it, right? Or hire someone to build it. But it implies action. You have to act. We're living in a world that is in constant rebellion to the truth. And so if you sit in inaction, you don't work, then you're going to be swept away by lies and deceit. It's like if you've ever swam in a river. When you stop swimming, you just float down the river. You get swept along. So we have to work. We have to swim. We have to take steps. We have to be active, or else we will be deceived by the lies of the culture, by the enemy, and even by our own sinfulness. If you want to make truth your home, if you want to live by truth and not by the lies, then you are going to have to work, and you're going to have to work hard. The second word in there, truth, which we'll talk more about, but the truth, as John 17 says, is God's word. God's word is the truth, and it reveals the truth. And we can know things apart from God's word, but everything gets not only filtered by it, but brought under submission to God's word. So you might think, oh, I think this is how it works. And if it doesn't fit in with Scripture, then you're like, well, I guess I misunderstood that. It comes under submission to God's word. So people often study other things, and then they try, maybe instead of bringing it under submission, to just bend God's word to fit into what they think they know. And that's wrong. That's not how it works. So you need to make truth your home, and truth, we need to be in the Word. But not just in the Word. We talk about that all the time. But you need to be consuming good books, good entertainment, good stories. If you're in the Word, but you're constantly consuming untrue and bad books and entertainment and stories, then you're feeding on a lot of other stuff that's going to lead your heart astray. We need to be consuming good and true things. Not just in the Word, but outside of the Word. We'll get to that more in a little bit. Thirdly, make truth your home. So, I think we all have a tendency to hear people talk, hear a word, hear God's word being preached, and we like to think about other people who maybe need to hear it, okay? We're talking about making truth your home. So we want to take action and work for the truth, but not just in our church, so that's good. Not just in our world, though that's good. In other people, which is good. But specifically for you, for your home. You are the one that's going to have to work hard for your home. Not everyone else's home, but for yours. And while that applies to everyone in your home, men especially, you need to step up and make sure you're setting the tone in your home. And then lastly, home. Make truth your home. There's two reasons I think we picked home, kind of playing off the word there. The home is where you live, right? It's where you live. And so we want to live in the truth. We want to live in the truth, not just visit it, like not make truth your vacation home, right? You want to live, you live in your home. We want truth to be where we live. It needs to be central, and we need to make our decisions from there. And then sort of the second reason playing off it, home is where the family is. Home is where the family is. And we want to focus this year not just on making the truth your home as an individual, but making the truth the home for your family, for your family. We want the truth to live in our homes this year. We want your family to live in and by the truth. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Awesome. So going back to the word truth for just a little bit, because I think the truth is under attack, and it's always under attack from the very beginning. Satan, at the very beginning, he's like, did God really say? Okay, so he's trying to get Adam and Eve all the way from the beginning to question what God said, to question the truth and to walk away from it. So the enemy doesn't want people to know the truth. Men, as Romans says, try to suppress the truth by their wickedness. People don't usually want to really hear the truth. But I think we often don't realize how much we don't want to hear the truth, okay? So I could talk about the world all day, and I'm going to some, but the question is for us, right? Making truth your home. A lot of times we don't want to hear the truth. A lot of times I don't want to hear the truth. And a lot of times we don't realize how much we've drifted from the truth and been caught up in lies. So the culture, it says, one of the places it says to look for truth is within. Okay, it's like, look inside yourself, you'll find the truth. I don't know if you've ever like really tried that before, but man, the heart is confusing and deceitful, and there's not a lot of truth to find there. A lot of people think you just look inside yourselves, you'll find it. It's totally subjective. And the truth is not subjective. The truth is objective. It doesn't change from one person to the next. You do not find the truth by looking inside yourself. You will find your feelings and wants and desires in there. And as Scripture says, the heart can be deceitful. You can look inward to see how you feel about something, which can be useful. I've talked about that. But it is not going to help you find the truth. And so I would venture a guess that just about all of you agree with me on that. But here's the thing. While we would say we agree, we don't always live like we agree. A lot of times when we're trying to make decisions, we do it based on how we feel instead of what Scripture says. Maybe based on how someone else feels a lot of times, because we don't want someone to be upset with us or hurt or whatever else. So we make decisions based on how someone else feels instead of what we know is true. Maybe we hear something and we take offense to it even if it is true. There could be a whole host of things. Maybe how you raise or interact with your kids or your spouse, what you think about a sermon, how you spend your money, what we think about sexuality and gender roles. You could go on and on, but we don't want to go by how we feel about those things. We want to go by God's word. And often, we won't go and get counsel when we're in a tough spot. Or at least not counsel from someone we know might disagree with us. We like to go and find someone, you know, if I talk to this person, and people are like, oh yeah, okay. But when we're faced with tough situations, when we're faced with deep hurt or afflictions or sins, like we need to go to somebody who's going to give us godly counsel, and we need to hear it. We need to hear it. We don't want the truth because it might be hard. It might sting. It may lead to consequences we don't want, but we need it. The truth is what sets us free. That's what Jesus says. God created the world, and he created everything in it, and he set up how things should go. And when we live in the truth, when we walk in the truth, we bring him glory, and we're following the best path. And when we don't, we're walking down a path. It might be easier for a moment, but it's going to lead to more pain in the end. When we walk by lies and not by truth, we're walking in sin. So while the real church will stand and say there is absolute truth and it is found in God's word and it's not found within ourselves, we each individually have to be careful not to deceive ourselves and end up living more like the world than we realize and not seeking counsel, going off of our feelings, going off of others' feelings. So this morning, one of the questions I'd have you ask yourself is, how are you doing in this area? Are you living by God's word, or are you living by your feelings? Are you living by the feelings of others? Another place I think our culture loves to look for the truth is like what the experts say. They're like, oh, well, you should go and find out what the experts say. And I'm not saying that there are not great people who have studied things and know a lot about things out there. But we have to realize that just because someone is an expert in something doesn't mean that they're going to give us the truth. Sometimes experts hate the truth. I think we saw during COVID, it was like a trust the experts, trust the experts, trust the experts. And a lot of it, they didn't actually know what they were doing, which is understandable to a degree, right? I don't know anything about the science of viruses other than what I've read. But they were presenting it, this is the truth. And a lot of times, experts don't really know that much. They're making educated guesses. I love that our doctors reminded us when TJ was in the hospital when he was born. He was having all sorts of problems. He was in the NICU. And our doctors reminded us, this is a medical practice. Like, we are practicing medicine. Because, honestly, there's a whole lot we just do not know. We're just making guesses on a lot of this stuff. And this is not to speak ill of doctors at all. We had wonderful doctors. They did a great job at taking care of us when TJ was there. But there's just a lot they don't know. There's a lot we don't know. But another thing to consider, so that's one thing to consider. Another thing is, are the experts you're wanting to trust actually trustworthy? Or do they have their own agenda? Like, what is it that makes them trustworthy? Everybody's got a different agenda out there, and if you give it a little bit of time, you see, oh, wow, maybe that's what it was, and you know what? I don't think they're trustworthy, because they might know a lot of stuff, but they want me to believe this. And then thirdly, besides are they trustworthy, is what kind of worldview do they have? A lot of people don't think they're trying to deceive you, but a lot of experts, I'll just throw out one thing, believe and teach evolution, which totally contrary to God's word. So I'm not going to give a sermon about that. If you want to talk about evolution another time, we can, or you can go sit in on Margaret's biology class. But they approach science and biology with an already established worldview, and so instead of allowing their understanding to be shaped by what they find, they make it fit into what they already believe. Now, Christians do this all the time as well, by the way, with Scripture. A lot of times we're reading, and instead of trying to understand what the text is saying, we read into the text what we want it to say, and that's not good either. But my point is, some of these experts, they have a worldview that shapes how they think about things. And unless that is a Christian worldview and it's shaped by Scripture, they're going to come to wrong conclusions about at least some things, especially depending on what area that they're in, that they work in, especially areas like psychology or counseling or raising children, some of the big issues today that have to do with the family. Those are areas that without God's word, people are going to come to wrong conclusions on. So we want to trust the expert, the creator, right, who actually created and designed us and designed the world, which is why we want to look at God's word. Does that make sense? So the truth matters. The truth matters a lot, and it matters because it comes from God. And so I think we always need to continually ask ourselves, like, where am I looking for truth? And who am I trusting to give me the truth? Jesus says about himself, he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. There's a lot of people who deny Jesus, and they have a problem with the truth. I just want to read off a few scriptures here. While we're talking about the truth, 1 John 1:8 says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So many people in the world say, hey, like, we're actually good by nature, right? They're deceived. They don't have the truth. They deny the truth. 1 John 4:6 says that we are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. People are rejecting God's word. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth. Ephesians 6:14 says we are to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around our waist. One of the Ten Commandments is that we are not to lie, right? James 1:18 says he chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be kind of first fruits he created. John 1:14, the word, Jesus became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17 says, grace and truth came through Jesus. In John 8, Jesus says, the truth will set you free. And John 16, the Holy Spirit is referred to as the Spirit of truth who will lead us into all truth. You could go on and on looking at scriptures, but the truth matters. The truth matters. It is vital, and it's not just whatever somebody feels. And so we need to make sure we're looking for it in the right place, church. We need to look to the scriptures, and we need to look to good books written by men and women who know the truth and know the author of all truth. And then obviously we bring those books under submission to God's word. But we need to be seeking out the truth, because it matters and it's important and it's vital to our sanctification. So make truth your home, right? Truth is important. But I also want to talk a little bit more about the home or the family. So God created people to be in families all the way from the beginning. He gave Eve and Adam, or he gave Eve to Adam. And they were the first marriage. They were the first family. And he told them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. One of the Ten Commandments is to honor your father and mother. God refers to himself as our father. We're referred to as the bride of Christ. We call each other brothers and sisters in Christ, right? God designed the family. He designed it to bring him glory. He designed it for the good of everyone, and we see traces of the family all throughout Scripture. And the enemy, he knows how important the family and the home are. So he wants to destroy and he wants to corrupt them. And the culture seems bent on destroying the family too, even though the family is the bedrock of a society. When the family crumbles, society crumbles. And we can see that in America today as the family has been crumbling. It's been falling apart, and it falls apart when people live by lies and not by truth. And the lies, they're being shoved down your throat and taught to your kids as the truth everywhere that people can do that. The public education system, I'm just going to talk about a few of these areas that I think the family is under attack in. The public education system, it rejects God, it rejects Jesus, and it rejects the truth. And most of our children in our country, they're in the classroom 40 hours a week. 40 hours a week. They're being taught things contrary to the truth. Often they're being taught outright lies, and in reality, in a lot of cases, they're being taught to hate God. And so, as Christians, we are to train up our children in the way that they should go. We are to teach them to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Amen. We're not told that we have to homeschool them. We're not told that we have to put them in a private school. But you, parents, are responsible to see that your kids get a Christian education. You're responsible to see that they get a Christian education, to see that they know and love the truth. And to be honest, in our culture, in our country, that pretty much does rule out public education. The system that is in place does the opposite of what we are responsible to do for our children. And the effects of that are being felt throughout our country. One of the main avenues of the attack on the truth and the family, as I said, is the education system. And yet, according to a Gallup poll I read recently, 78%, not of Christians, because it's a very large percentage of our country still that identifies as Christian, even if they only go to church once a year. But 78% of those who attend church every week have their kids in the public schools. The church has to make truth their home and see that their children are given a Christian education. And so my question for you this morning is, are your kids getting a good, strong Christian education? Are they being taught to love the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength? Are they being given a worldview through Scripture, how to interpret the world? So they need it. And parents, it's your responsibility to make sure that they have it. Another way the family is under attack is through pornography. Without mentioning any of the other negative effects, porn distorts sex and it violates marriage. And it drives apart a husband and a wife, and it damages their relationship. And in a Christian marriage, a husband looking at porn is lying about the gospel. He's supposed to be imitating Christ in how he loves his bride. And so if you're caught up in porn, you are walking a path towards destruction, the destruction of your family. And you need to get free. It's not just you who's going to suffer the consequences. It will be your spouse, it will be your children, it will be your family, and it will be your church. And it is your society as well. This evil, porn, lies about the beautiful gift of sex that God created. It lies about it, and it tears apart families, and it is time for this evil to be purged from the church. It is time for you to repent and turn from your sin, and it is time to get free. Amen? Stop living by lies. Step into the light and make truth your home. Do something about it today if this is you. Everything in our culture, from the education system to movies, psychologists, to our government, it's all pushing the whole LGBTQ+ train, and it's leaving people broken, depressed, and utterly deceived. God has made it very clear in his word and in nature, there's only two genders. And he has made it very clear the differences between man and woman. And he created them differently and for different things. and he created a man and a woman to come together and be a family. But when people believe that they aren't a man or they aren't a woman, or they believe they're a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa, that throws off the entire world. And everything around them screams, this is good, this is okay, you should embrace it. This is an attack on the family. These people aren't living in the truth. They aren't having families. And if they do, they aren't raising their kids in a godly way. It is tearing apart the fabric of the family in our culture. And if you aren't careful, you and your children will be living by the lies in this area as well. So make truth your home this year. If you're struggling with any of those things, please come and talk to us. Get into God's Word. Read some good books written by people who know the Lord and have studied the Scriptures to see what God says about this stuff, and not people who are trying to read into the Scriptures what they want God to say. But you're going to have to work. You're going to have to take action. And on the topic of gender, the church has largely surrendered to the culture in the roles of men and women and adapted like a Christian version of what the culture says. Feminism has crept into the church. A biblical view of the roles of men and women and a husband and wife are considered repressive. And if you want to promote the idea of a woman being able to stay at home to raise her kids, that's viewed negatively. And I know that even if you are a woman, if that's you and you want to be able to stay home with your kids, if you're a husband who wants your wife to be able to stay home with the kids, the reality is it's extremely hard. It's hard. It's not easy to do that. Our society, our culture is not set up for families to be sustained by one income. It's just, it's not. And so if you want to do that, you're facing a battle. It's almost necessary for the husband and the wife to both work today. So if you feel like you're in that situation, you feel like we really want to get to this point and we're not there, please come talk to Pastor Mike and I and let us pray with you. If we want to come alongside any families that are in that situation and figure out, okay, like, how can we help your family get there? The Lord cares about this, and we want to see you get there. So I challenge you, church, make sure truth is your home this year. And you've not succumbed to the lies of the culture in this area with feminism and gender roles and things. Men, lead your homes with love. Wives, submit to your husbands with joy. There's far too many Christian homes that say they do this, but they're run by a wife who wants to make sure she gets her way and a husband who won't lead. And that's not good. That's not how God set things up. And I'd be happy to pray with you, to talk with you, to give you some books to read on that topic as well. But ask yourself, is this your house? Will you submit to the truth and surrender? And then children in our culture, I think I talked about this last time, but they've been devalued over and over. That's why we see abortion like we do. People don't value the lives of children. They don't think they're important. Abortion is the murder of an innocent child, and our country is all about it. Even in our own conservative state, we lost the battle with Amendment 3. Our country as a whole favors the murder of children in the womb of their mother. It is evil. And while a majority of Christians would oppose that, and all Christians should oppose that, and would never get an abortion themselves, the devaluing of children has crept into the church. I've shared this before, but it crept into my own life. I was deceived about children. I thought, they're great. I like to see children running around the church. But I did not have a desire for children myself. And I was not living by the truth. I was caught up in my feelings and the lies of the culture. Scripture speaks very plainly about the blessings of children. And why would I not desire a blessing from the Lord? Why would I try and say the mandate to be fruitful and multiply no longer applied in the same way it did then? I remember thinking to myself, you know, like, I read this and that mandate was sort of replaced by Matthew 28, so I really should be more about making disciples and saving people. Like, I was trying to justify my heart trying to justify my heart. And I was, without even knowing it, trying to avoid the blessings of God, trying to avoid what God calls good, what God has called us to do. One of the first, if not the first command God gave was to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion of the earth. Getting married, having kids, and taking care of your family, it's not a secondary thing to figure out someday. It doesn't come after your career. It's not secondary to whatever calling you have from God. For almost all of us, it is our primary calling. We glorify God and enjoy Him by doing what He created us to do. And I said for almost all of us because, yes, sometimes the Lord does have something different for people, but you should hear me say for all of us, because I think it's very rare that we are the exception, but we always think we're the exception, and we shouldn't think that we are the exception. We do, and we're just about always wrong. Like I said, I thought to myself, you know, maybe the Lord has called Laura and I specifically to minister to a lot of kids through youth ministry and through school, and if we had kids, we'd have less time for that. It's easy to end up deceiving yourself. Do not be deceived. Do not reject the blessings of the Lord. People are getting married later and later today. They're having kids later. They're having less and less kids. I think we're right around 2 or just under 2 in the United States, children per family. And the Christian number is just like 0.1 more than the rest of our culture. So obviously, we aren't trusting God's word in this area. Children are a blessing. The culture is making it harder to have more of them. The culture is making it harder to have a family at an early age, but buck the trend. Make truth your home, young people. Don't get caught up in self-deception or lies from the culture. Get married, have kids, and have a lot of kids, and raise them to love the Lord. Take care of your family. If you put those things first, the Lord will open other doors for ministry that He has for you. But take care of your family and have a family. If you're currently single, don't give up hope. The Lord has good things in store for you. And He's always working for His glory and the good of those who love Him. Amen? If you're struggling with this, please come talk to Pastor Mike and myself, because we would love to pray for you. In conclusion, the truth is under attack, and the family is under attack. So what are you going to do to see the truth live in your home? For your family to live by the truth and not by lies, how are you combating the culture and building your own culture that is centered around the truth? I have a few closing exhortations for you, I think 4 or 5, that I believe will help you be sanctified in the truth, as Jesus prayed in John 17. First, this is what you hear all the time over and over from us. Make sure you are in the Word this year. Make sure you're in the Word. We say it over and over because we need to hear it over and over. We need to hear it over and over because we need to be in God's Word. We need to not just hear it, but we need to do it. We need to start being a people that is saturated in the truth of God's word, because we are in God's word all the time. Find time each day to listen to it, to pray, to read it. You need to be sanctified in the truth of the scriptures. Husbands and fathers, make sure your wife has time to get into the word. Make sure your kids are able to hear it regularly. Pastor Mike sent out an email with some great tips on how to make family devotions work this year. Spend time as a family, even if it's a short time each day, making sure your family is in the Word. Try it out. Secondly, make it a priority to be at church this year and receive the preaching of the Word. It's amazing when we really count it up how many Sundays we end up missing. Whether sickness or just planned vacations and then other things come up, make it a priority to be here. God has put you in this church for a reason, and He speaks through His word as it is preached. So come, and don't just come and show up and be asleep. I'd rather have you here sleepy than not at all. But come ready to listen and receive to the best of your ability. I know it can be hard, especially if you have young kids. I'm figuring that out. And the more of them there are, I'm sure the harder it is. But come ready to receive. Come ready to receive. Do the hard work, and I'm saying yes, do the hard work of listening and receiving God's word as it is preached. It also means things like coming to the Foundations Conference that we're doing this year, and other times when we have teaching happening. You want to saturate yourself in the truth. All sorts of lies are being shouted at you all week long. Do everything you can to saturate yourself in the truth. We don't put together the Foundations Conference every year because it's fun. If you're putting it together, it's a lot of work. Okay, that's what it is. But I do have fun. It is enjoyable when I'm there. But we don't put it together because it's fun, though we might enjoy it. We do it because we need the truth. And the conference this year is called Reclaiming the Family. I got that right, right? Reclaiming the Family. It is January 31st, Friday evening, February 1st, Saturday morning, and early afternoon. We're going to be talking about marriage, relationship between husbands and wives, raising young children, raising older children. We're going to be talking about grandkids, the role of grandparents, family devotions, and then we're going to be doing some breakouts on the family. So come and hear truth preached and enjoy some sweet fellowship and food with your brothers and sisters. Sign up in the Church Center app. If you cannot afford it, talk to me. We will work something out for you. But I strongly encourage you to be there. We have some awesome speakers this year, some new and some old. It's going to be a really good time. Thirdly, so first, be in the Word. Second, listen to the preaching of the Word. Thirdly, make sure you're reading good books this year, as many as you can. If you can't read them, listen to audiobooks. There was a point in my life where I read books, physical books, all the time. I'm just not in that phase of life anymore, especially with TJ. But it is so important, I think, for us to read, and if we can't read, to listen. So if you don't have the time to read some good books, listen to audiobooks. And I'm talking about good books that are full of truth and that are going to build your faith. Books that are going to help you to grow and sanctify you. The kind of books that are maybe going to drop like a conviction bomb on you. Again, if you want recommendations, we are happy to give you some recommendations. I think, personally, that people in our church should come to us way more often asking for recommendations for books than they do. But come to us. Find some good ones on your own. There's lots of great fiction books that can communicate great truths in a way that we maybe haven't seen them before, that can help build us up. But I'm especially talking about books that are going to help you grow in the Lord and be able to stand strong. Books that are going to help you find healing from deep hurts. Books that are going to help you love Jesus more. Fourth, if you're struggling with any of the things I've talked about today, or any other affliction or sin, please come and talk to us so that we can pray with you and help you to see clearly. Most of the time, when we are in the middle of sin, or we're in the middle of an affliction or a deep hurt, we just don't see clearly. We don't. For some reason, we think we do, and actually we think we're the only one who does. Think, I'm the one in this position, so I can see more clearly than any of you. That's deception. That is not the case. Usually it is the opposite. More often it's more like you're down in a labyrinth with high walls that you can't see over. And you come to us and we're kind of like getting to look down from the top and we can help you navigate. You're so stuck in it you can't see clearly. Hurt, sin, affliction, whatever it is, all of those things cloud our vision. They cloud our vision. So humble yourself and get some help. Before we had TJ, Laura and I had to go and seek the counsel of several people in the church to get clarity. We were just not able to see clearly on the matter of having children. But all of the counsel was, have children. So what did we do? We said, okay, we're going to try and leave it up to the Lord. And We have the beautiful gift of our precious son, TJ. He's out there clapping. Truly, though, what a gift. And lastly, and the worship team can go ahead and come up, but get to work. Get to work. God does not require us to work for our salvation. By no means. It is by grace we have been saved through faith. Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. We cannot earn our salvation, but God has prepared for us works to do. Right? That's what Ephesians says. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in him. If you want truth to be your home, you need to call on the name of Christ. No amount of work is going to save you. This world is marred by sin, and we are all sinners. We've all broken God's law, everyone, and the punishment for that is death, eternity in hell. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. So if you have not come to Jesus and trusted in him, you can do that this morning. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's what Romans says. So call on the name of the Lord, turn from your sin, and surrender to him, and he will save you. And after you're saved, you do get to glorify him and enjoy him forever, which is work, but it is good and joyful work. So in order to make truth your home, you are going to have to work. All of us. Living by lies leads to death and destruction. Living by the truth leads to life, but it can be hard work. Work can be hard, but good. Work can be slow, but it is good. Sanctification is not easy, but it is good. The truth is often painful, but it is good. And you know what's awesome is that God has called us to work, but he's the one who saves. He has called us to work, but he is the one who provides. He has called us to work, but he is the one who brings fruit from our work. God has called us to work, but he's the one who blesses us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Amen? Paul said in Philippians that in whatever situation he found himself in, he could do all things through Christ who strengthens him. Now, so you might look at yourself, and you might look at your home and realize, I have a lot of work to do. Think we all would say that if we're honest. But you can do it, not in your own power, but through Christ who strengthens you. Amen? If you'd stand, we're going to sing this song together, and then we'll pray. Yeah.
ask that you would sanctify us in the truth. We know your word is truth. And we know that these things are hard. The good works you've called us to do are going to mean hard work. We can do them through you. So, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would set people free from lies, from sin, from hurt. Lord, that they would walk with you in freedom. And Lord, we do ask for your sanctification. Make us more holy. Make us more like you. Root out the lies we've been believing. Help us not to hold on to them, but to cling to your truth. Make us a people of your word. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, and bless our time now as we continue to worship through fellowship. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, church.